and I want to encourage you this morning to grab on to what God has in store for you. Amen? How many of you know who God is? I mean, many times we ask this question. We say, God, who are you? And that's what I want to talk to you this morning about. Who are you, God? Well, in Exodus chapter 3 and verse 14, the Bible says this. And God said to Moses, I am who I am. How many of you know that God is? Everything we need, everything we want, everything. God is the great I am. God is, this is my understanding of God, is unconditional love. Do we grasp the reality of unconditional love? I really sometimes don't think we do. You say, like, Pastor, well, I just don't understand that, because most of us don't and have never experienced unconditional love. We put conditions on it. Well, I'll love you if I'll love you if you do this for me, if you qualify for my love. If we have a very conditional understanding of the word love. And it's been my experience that many of us have never really experienced unconditional love. Love, as long as we are at this point, I'm okay. Have you seen, and I've seen, many great theologians. Theologians just mean studier of the Bible. I've seen a lot of people that say they study the Word of God, that they study it and they get involved in it and they get deep into it and they're trying to figure out all the ins and outs, but they don't love people. They struggle with the word love and they struggle with the understanding. With all of these theologians, what's amazing to me is how many of them disagree with each other. Have you ever noticed that? How many people disagree about what the Bible says? I'd have to say, I believe that the problem is that many of us don't have the mind of Christ. We don't put on the mind of Christ. We just start thinking in our own minds and thinking in our own understanding. And we leave God over here. Well, God, I understand this is what your word says, but I was taught this. I believe that. I'm trying to figure this out. I don't know about you, but watch what the word says. Remember Romans 11 and 33. It says it like this. God is unsearchable. Oh, the depths. Oh, my goodness. Say depths. Of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are His judgments. And His ways, it's past finding out. You can't even figure it out. So it's like trying to figure out eternity. It's like looking out into the space and trying to figure out where the last planet is, or where the cosmos ends and where God begins. Because I believe that many of us struggle with this understanding. It's because, and I believe that this is so true, is that we're all apart. Say apart. A part of the body of Christ. Not a part like separate, but a part of. We are a part. I've got a hand. I've got a finger. I've got a toe. We are all parts of the body. And we have our understanding of what we believe God is by our understanding. By our wisdom, by our understanding, by the fleshly knowledge. But how many of you know that God is eternal? He is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So we have to realize that we're in a process. Say process. We're in a process of building our understanding about accomplishing what God wants to do. Are you there yet? Is anybody there yet? I just need to know if there's anybody that's completed there. You already... You know it all. There's no know-it-alls here? Okay. James chapter 1, verse 2 says this, my brethren, count it all joy. This is a very frustrating scripture to read. Count it all joy when you fall into various trials. How many of you know that you've been through it this week? Anybody's been through it this week? Yeah, you've been through some stuff this week? You fall into various trials. Count it all joy. Don't you just feel joyful? I have to tell you, I'm at so much joy with myself right now. I borrowed a water pump to pump out my pool. Anybody, y'all know I got a little pool in the backyard? Or I should say had a little pool in my backyard. Don't pump out a pool when you don't know what you're doing. I no longer have a pool. It all collapsed in. I'm at so much joy because I'm counting it all joy for all of these trials. Hallelujah. Knowing that your testing of your faith produces what?
Patience.
And there's a lot of people that just don't want patience. Knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. It's a process. But let patience have its perfect work. You see, that means we got to go through some frustration. That means we got to go through some problems. We got to go through some. When it has, say when. When it has its perfect work, that you might be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Anybody here there yet? I just got to keep asking that question. I want to make sure we all had the same page. Remember 1 Corinthians 13 and 11 says this. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. And that's what I want to talk to you this morning about. Who is your God? Is he capable of pulling you up out of the miry clay? Is he capable of bringing you peace in the midst of your turmoil? Do you serve the King of Kings and Lord of Lords? No matter what you're going through, is God still reigning in your life? Do you realize that he loves you? Tabitha made a statement earlier about we go through things and God always loves us and he pulls us through. And how many of you have been pulled through some stuff? Huh? You've been pulled through. How about, watch this. When I became a man, I put away childish things for now. Say now. We see in a mirror dimly, but then, say then. Then face to face. Now we see in a mirror, then I see face to face. For now, say now. I know in part, and then, say then, I shall know just as I am known. How are we known? Are people looking at our lives and they're seeing the King of Kings and Lord of Lords shining through your life? You have given us all kind of great faith. Watch this. Now abides faith, hope, and love, these three. The greatest of these are, say love. We serve a King of the mighty God. He loves us unconditionally. Now, it doesn't mean he accepts us, he does not mean that he just will allow us to keep going in the same problems that we have. How many of you know he wants us to get it right? He's trying to give us wisdom and insight. He's trying to bring us to a place of understanding. God loves the world. Say world. You see, sometimes, again, when we read Scripture, we don't realize that we say, God loves the world. That's everybody in, yeah, but God loves the world. He loves people. He loves the people. And he loves each one of us that we are proclaiming to be Christians. And when we separate ourselves and we get before the Lord, he loves a cheerful bringer. Now the word says giver, and that's talking about money, and I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about, bro, what are you bringing to the Lord this morning? Are you bringing your heart? Did you come with the joy of the Lord in your heart, or do we come in and say, here, I made it. Whew! How bad, what a rough week that was. Made it another week. How many of you know you got a few more to go? Hallelujah. Do you love God? Do you love your neighbor? Do you love yourself? Oh, got a little quiet on that one. Oh, well, yeah. Man, you love your neighbors better than you do yourself. Wait a minute. Something wrong with that picture. You know what? We're supposed to love the Lord our God with all our heart, mind, soul. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. So when you're going through troubles and you're going through trials and you think, nobody loves me, God does. He loves you and he wants you to learn to love yourself. Now, that's not to be weird with it. But you got to be able to understand that. You got to be comfortable in your skin. You got to learn to love yourself. Realize that, is it evident what's going on in your life? Do we just let everybody know all of our problems and trials? Well, here I am, an open book. And sometimes I tell people, please shut the book. Don't need to know everything. As a pastor, a lot of times, don't beat the kids. As a pastor, sometimes people tell me stuff and I'm, wait, if I don't need to know, I don't want to know. There's enough things going on that put it, don't dump your garbage. Bring it to the Lord. Say, Lord, help me. We bring our trash and our... Now, yes, if you got some situations and you need some counsel and you need a little wisdom, fine. But I don't need to know who you slept with, where you slept with them, and how deep y'all went. Oh, whoa, hey, whoa. Wait, just a minute. Repent, get before the Lord. Remember, watch this, Titus 1. They profess to know God, but in their works they deny him. Well, I know God, hallelujah, but what am I doing? They profess to know God, but in their works they deny him, the word says, being abominable, disobedient, and disqualified for every good work. But they are a good person. You hear that a lot? Oh, but they're a good person. They sin like heck, and they get drunk and fool around with everybody in the world, but they're a good person in their heart. They disqualified for every good work. God loves you. He forgives you. But it's not a continuous ongoing. You gotta repent. You gotta stop. Say stop. Do we love God? Do we forgive each other? Oh, well, I love those who love me, but I don't love them who don't love me. I forgive those who forgave me, but you know what? I'm a hold of grudge. I hear a few people these days are saying, I'll never forgive them. Oh, my goodness. Do we know what we just said? What we're saying is that I won't forgive them. And guess what happens when we don't forgive? We won't be forgiven. How many of you want to be forgiven for everything? Hallelujah. Well, then we just need to forgive everything, amen, and move on. Don't hold on to these things, the cares and the problems. Remember, watch this. Luke chapter 6 and 32, it says this. But if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? It don't count. For even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. It don't count. If we don't love and forgive, then we don't understand God. I'll say that slower. If we don't love and forgive, then we truly don't understand God. Because God is loving and He is forgiving. And He wants us to be like Him. Amen? How many of you know we're called to be Christians, Christ-like, like God? Go after it with all your heart, mind, and soul. Don't just hold on to some stuff. If we don't love and forgive, we don't get it. I got some good news for you. I know a lot of y'all are getting worried right now. You're saying, Pastor, you're probably slapping me upside the head right now, Pastor. But I'm here to tell you some good news. Say good news. We are all, say all, still building on our spirituality. We're all still building what I call my spirit man. The man that's inside of me that has trouble with the flesh. Don't raise your hand here, okay? How many of you struggle with a few things in your flesh? Anybody that's overweight, you know exactly what I'm talking about. But we struggle with different things. But we got to understand that there's a spirit man inside of us that God's working on. And He's trying to pull us together. Watch this. Do you know? Say, I know. That we are body, soul, and spirit. We are body, soul, and spirit. And we got to stir up the spirit man within us to learn how to overcome the flesh, the problems that we have. Well, you ever heard the story of the woman at the well? Watch this. Jesus is talking to her in John chapter 4 and verse 24. He says, God is spirit. Do you know that God is spirit? Watch this. And those who worship Him must. We must worship Him in spirit and in truth. And sometimes we just get in the flesh. You know, I was watching. What was I watching? I don't even remember what it was watching. I was watching something last night, and they had like a little party going on, and everybody is like, oh, I'm sorry, it was PBS, and it was music about the 70s on it. And they were all rocking and rolling, and they had a lot, and I was sitting there going, wow, I hadn't heard that song in a long time. And I put this smile on my face, and I don't remember what song it even was. It was one of them 70s things, because I like the 70s stuff. And I was just ooh, rock and roll. I don't know what it was, but I was jamming out to it. You ever heard your favorite song and you just kind of all of a sudden, howling, and you were just big old smile on your face? Well, I was watching that and I got sad in my heart and my spirit, because I thought to myself, how many people come to church in the process of worshiping God in spirit and truth? They don't smile. They're not sitting there going, Lord, I love you. Lord, I lift your name on high. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, are we smiling when we praising God? Are we separating ourselves from the flesh and coming into His fullness, into His spirit? Are we coming out of our flesh into our spirit man? Say spirit man. That's the Holy Ghost inside you, in case I'm freaking you out when I say spirit man. Sometimes we've got to realize that we've got to separate ourselves and get into the spirit of man, of God, the Holy Spirit, and separate ourselves from all cares. God is spirit. Those who worship must worship. God is spirit. We need our spirit man's understanding to understand God, because He's spirit. Now, we can grab onto that. We use our flesh, but He's wanting us to separate. Say separate. From all of the cares and worries, issues that we're dealing with. How many of you got a few issues right now that you're going through? Raise your hand, because I want to pray for you. Father, you see the ones right now that's got situations, issues, Lord, problems, Lord, that only your wisdom, only your understanding, Lord, only your knowledge, Lord, will help us get through this. So, Father, we surrender right now to your spirit. Lord, we rebuke the devourer. We rebuke the devil, Lord. We say, be gone in Jesus' name. Say Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Remember John chapter 6 and 30 and 63. It says, it is the spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life. I may be ready for a little bit more life. A little bit more of what the Spirit of God has for you. First Corinthians 2 and 13 says, these things we also speak not in word which man's wisdom, but the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things to spiritual things. Huh? But the natural man, watch this, the natural man. The natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. Nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned, spiritually understood. Oh, boy, I know what's coming for some folks. I know what's coming. How many of you know God's got some good things in store for you, because you're faithful and you're following Him, and you have been obedient and you're trying to do it right. And when you mess up, you say, oh, God, forgive me, and move on. God's got some great things in store for His body, for the body of Christ. I'm here to tell you that I know what's coming for me. Do you know what's coming for you? In the process of living life, you will have tribulations. You will have problems. But I'm here to tell you, step out of your flesh. Step out of your natural vision that you're seeing, it's so bad, and they're doing this wrong, and they're doing that wrong. Don't worry about them. Say them. Don't worry about them. You, say you. Say me. Follow Jesus. Don't get caught up in the stuff that's taking away from the kingdom of God. The Bible says that the kingdom of God is forcefully advancing, and forceful people are going to lay hold of it. Are you ready to lay hold of what God already has laid hold of for you? Are you ready for that? This is why many people struggle with understanding God, because we're in our natural mind, our natural man, our fleshly thinking, our carnal mind. The Bible tells us what the carnal mind cannot conceive is the spiritual realm. Amen. too many of us are caught up in the confusion of life. And that's why we say things like, God, why? Because we don't understand God. I promise you, even myself, numerous times I've said, God, why? Have you ever said, why? Why me? Why this? And it's because we're in our carnal mind that we don't understand why. Because once we get away from the carnal man and start getting into the spiritual man, he starts giving us insight. Guess what, Lord? Why did you let my pool collapse? Because I'm going to let it make it so that you don't have to clean the pool every year. You're not going to have to put any more chlorine in it every day. Hallelujah. I don't know. I got to a point where it really don't matter what goes on in my natural life. God will supply all of my needs according to His riches and glory, whether I like it or not. How many of you know He's got something better in store for you? He's got something better in store. Oh, well, my car broke down. Well, get ready. You're fixing to be blessed with a brand new one. Did I say that? I don't know. I'm just messing. I just wanted to watch how many people would say amen to that one. Hallelujah. Watch what this word says. Remember this. 1 Corinthians 2 and 9 says, eye has not seen, I'll use this scripture a lot, and ear not heard, nor has entered into the heart of the man the things which God has already prepared for those who love Him. Oh, I love Jesus. But do you love your neighbor? Oh, well, you know, he's a jerk. Well, you know, that's part of our problem. Is because we're not loving like God loves. We're not realizing that it's time to put off the flesh. We're not realizing that it's time for us to rise up and stir up the spirit man of God within us. So, okay, this is a time for revelation. It's time for the revealing. God wants to reveal Himself to us through the Holy Spirit. And that's the importance of understanding that, oh, sometimes you tell people about Holy Spirit, and uh-oh, I'm not going to get into that stuff. Well, how many of you know we need the Holy Spirit. We need the understanding. We need to put on our spirit man. God wants to reveal who He is. How? In our spirit man. First Corinthians 2 and 10 says, but God has revealed them. God has what? Revealed them to us. How? Through His Spirit. Through His Spirit, God's revealed to us the things that He's prepared for us. What? For what man knows the things? Oh, wait, I'm sorry. For the Spirit searches all things. The Spirit searches all things. Yes, the deep, say deep things. Oh, I like to say that one. The deep things. Ooh. For God, of God. For man, for what man knows the things of man except the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except by the Spirit of God. Do we have a couple of people that we know really well? Anybody here, you got a couple of people, a couple of friends that you know really well? And all of a sudden one day you went, I can't believe they said that. Or I can't believe they did that. And I'd like to see a few hands if you got a few people in here that'll admit that you said that. I can't believe that they said that. I can't believe that they did that. Watch this. Here it comes. You know it's coming, right? Oh, wait. Have you ever said to yourself, I can't believe I said that. I can't believe I did that. Anybody here? Probably the same people, probably a few more. So whenever you start saying, I can't believe they did that to me, just realize that we all fall short, right? And so do you. Say thank you. There you go. We all fall short. You don't have to run around trying to, ooh, look what he did. We all fall short. Well, I can't believe what they did. Well, just examine yourself and realize that there's been times in your life where you went, oh my goodness, I can't believe I said that. Where did that come from? It was the devil that said it to me. It was the devil that told me to say that. Pray for him, yeah. Hallelujah. Deep things. Here we go to some deep things. I can't believe it. We all fight. We all. Say all. We all fight our flesh. Rather you think, if you don't think you're fighting your flesh, you've already deceived yourself. You're lying to yourself right now, so you're fighting yourself. So are we all working on our spiritual man? We all are working on our spiritual man. So how, huh? How can we come to know the all-knowing God? Realize that He is so awesome. I don't know. If you don't know, is that Santa Claus? I'm sorry, I got a little distracted. Doesn't take much. God is the all-knowing God. He knows our every thought. You've heard me say, He knows how many hairs are on our head. Some of us, it's easy for Him to count. But He knows everything. He knows all things. But in our flesh, we don't understand the almighty, infinite God with a finite mind. We try to grasp onto it. We try to understand it. And for some reason, we keep going back to fleshly understandings to understand a spiritual God. How many of you know that we got to stop trying to reach back into our flesh and understand a spirit God? Did you not hear what I said a minute ago about the scripture where it said the flesh understands the flesh, but the spirit understands the spirit? So put off the thoughts to trying to figure it out in your natural mind and meditate. Say meditate on the Word of God, because the Word of God is spiritual. The Word of God is life. The Word of God is living, and it will bring understanding. It will bring clarity. God used parables throughout His ministry to explain to us fleshly understandings of a spiritual God. He brought us into these truths. Let me explain. It's like this. Have you ever read the parables where it says the kingdom of heaven is like this? Yeah. And sometimes we get caught up and we get all caught up into the trying to figure out exactly how, when, where, and who, and then try to make a formula of it. Well, A plus B equals C. Not all the time. How many of you know God is sovereign? He does what He wants to do, when He wants to do it. Not in our timing, huh? Sometimes we get impatient. Huh? I mean, anybody here impatient? No, don't raise your hand. I'm not looking up. God's love is unconditional. Have you ever looked around the world at the world and concluded in your mind that, wow, God, You are awesome? Have you ever looked at nature and just saw how awesome God is? I may not totally understand God, but I do know one thing. He's huge. He is awesome. He can do all things. And sometimes we don't think He can solve our problem. Do you ever realize the reality of that is when we think, well, our problem's too big for You, God. Have you looked around lately? Have you looked and seen how awesome He is? Now, He might make you go through some stuff because He's building some patience. He's building some character. He's building a spirit man inside of you so that, say that, we can understand a spirit God, a mighty God. He is so God. He is so mighty. In our flesh, we just don't get it. We don't understand. Some of our faith, we're weak. We keep on asking, who are You, God? It doesn't sound like that because, you know, sometimes I hear people say, well, I know God. Yeah, but it sounds more like this. Why? You see, we ask that question. Why? And when we understand that when we're asking why, we don't understand God. That's what the answer is. When we say why, we want the answer. But we're not willing to pray through. We're not willing to truly, say truly, seek His wisdom, seek His face, and to find out why. Why? Because I'm working inside of you, or I'm working in you for your neighbor. How many of you have been worked on for your neighbor? Huh? Some people think they know God, but they have a condition on it. Well, God, as long as you're doing this, God, watch this one. I've heard this one 1,000 times, and I'm sure you have too. God, if you do this for me, then I will. Predicated. Oh, put conditions on what you will do for God if He does. Oh, boy, you walking in a sloppy mess then. You're walking in some nasty water. You're mucky and your feet, your boots are going to be coming off. You're going to be walking in some stuff that's, oh my goodness, I'm here to tell you, quit putting conditions on God. I find getting to know God is an everlasting and it's an everlasting revelation and revealing of His goodness and mercy. His process, you know, where in Isaiah 6, where I found that God, here I go back to that same problem again, that scripture. I should read that and I'll figure it out. Isaiah 6, Isaiah the prophet said, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and lifted up in the train of His robe filled the temple. And then later on it talks about the seraphim and they flying around God. And every chance they get a third of the way around, they glance and they see a different holiness. That's why it says holy, 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 oh my. And you see, that's my understanding of God. Because the closer I get to Him and the more I circle Him and the more I try to find out who He is, He says, I'm holy. I'm holy. I'm holy. Holy one. Oh, wait, Lord, what do you mean you're holy? I am the I am. I am the Alpha and Omega. I am the beginning and the end and the first and last. I have what you need and I'm going to take you there if you'll follow me. If we follow Him, He's going to bring us to right where we need to be when we need to be there. How many of you have been right where you need to be when you need to be there? What? All right, how about this? How many of you have been in the wrong place and you knew it? How about that one? That one's a little easier, huh? That's because we didn't listen to the spirit man that said, don't go. Have you ever heard that one? Don't go there. And you went anyway. And then you said, why? Oh, I can't believe I did that. I can't believe I said that. Watch this. Did you know that we have to learn to build our spirit man? And when we build our spirit man, I didn't jump pages. Hang on a minute. Let me back up. Because this is important. I wanted to hit this. The spirit thing searches, yes, even the deep things of God. I'm in 1 Corinthians 2:10. Sorry about that. I was jumped around. I looked on the wrong page. For the spirit searches all things. Yes, the deep things. Say deep things. Deep things of God. Now, for Johnson and probably Vernon, and I'm probably sure. Wait, I forgot your buddy's name. Who? Roy. And Roy, and there's probably a few more people in here that know this statement that I'm fixing to tell you. And if you don't believe me, you can ask them. Every 33 feet is a different atmosphere. And to go down below different atmospheres, you got to have special equipment, either going down or up. Every 33 feet. I'm pretty sure it's up too, isn't it? No? Just down? Okay, down. Into the deep things. That's where I was heading anyway. Let me just take in what I know. I don't know about that stuff up there. But I do know this. It's like after 33 feet, an atmosphere changes. After 33 feet, your atmosphere starts changing. And as we get closer and closer to God and deeper, we need something called special equipment so that we don't get crushed. How many of you know, have you ever seen some crushed Christians? Because they didn't have their special equipment. Or called the Holy Spirit in my mind. The Holy Spirit in their heart and in their mind. And they got involved in something they shouldn't have been involved in. And before you know it, they got their feelings hurt. And I'm upset and I'm leaving and I ain't going back there. And I'm going to leave this and that person. And if they were my friend, they would. Uh-oh. You see where we stepped out of character. We stepped out and we got deeper than we needed to be without our special equipment, without our Holy Spirit. The atmosphere changed. You need a special suit. You need the armor of God, maybe. Huh? You need the spirit man. We need to prepare for our atmosphere changes. because they're coming. How many of you know you got some changes coming? How many of you know that you've had some changes already in your life and you wasn't ready for them and things happened and all of a sudden you found yourself in the place where you didn't want to be and you're saying, what happened? Because we didn't have our spirit man on. We wasn't prepared. John chapter 13 and 36 says this, and Jesus answers him, where I am going, you cannot follow me. What? But you shall follow me afterwards, after you got the Holy Spirit, after the Holy Spirit comes upon you, after you put on the armor of God, then you're ready to follow me. Watch this, 1 Corinthians 2 and 11. For what man knows the things of man except the spirit of man? Now watch this. What man knows the things of man except for the spirit of man? Watch this. What are we hiding? Uh-oh. We all have some things that nobody knows. I'm here to tell you right now, as your pastor in front of you, there's something about me that you will never know. I will never tell you. That's none of your business. Nah, I got about a dozen of y'all trying to figure out, you think you know me, Miss Elaine? Oh, okay. How many, all right, let's just test the water. How many of you got some things in here that I will never know about you? Anybody? Okay. Yeah. Yeah, I believe on turning on the light, though. But anyway, they got some things. We got to realize that we're hot. Most everybody is hiding something. Even so, watch this. No one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. So if we want to build on our spiritual man, if we need to have a spiritual receiver. How many of you know if you got a television at home, if you don't have a receiver, you don't get the picture. And too many of us don't have the spiritual receiver, so we're not getting the picture. We're not getting the vision. We're not understanding what God wants to do because we don't have a receiver. We don't put we don't even turn it on. I mean, how many of you ever sat in front of your TV and didn't turn it on and say, I wonder which one? And that's how silly it is that we are trying to hear God's voice and we don't have a spiritual receiver. We need to turn on the Holy Spirit. The Bible tells us to stir up the Spirit that's within you. God's given us the Holy Spirit. Oh, but brother, I don't have it. I don't have the Holy Spirit. Well, ask. The Bible tells us ask. Say ask. But I don't have one. Well, ask for it. That's how easy it is to get it. But I've been asking. But wait. Some of us have the Amazon mentality. We want to go click 3 clicks and then have it sent to us next day. Give it. How many of you know that sometimes the Holy Spirit is delayed? Have you ever read your scriptures? Have you ever heard that the Spirit was delayed for Daniel? Oh, what happened? Sometimes we can delay our reception of this answer because of our actions, because of our carnal, fleshly mindset. I'm not thinking clear, Lord. Ask, seek, and knock for His wisdom. And the Word says, watch this. Luke chapter 11. For if then you being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? I've seen people that just struggle and they just never got it. They just never got it. I mean, I've seen people sit in church for 10 years and then run away from God because they've never repented. They've never truly sought God. They ran away. And all of a sudden you figured, have you ever seen somebody that's been in church? I'm talking, you know, quite a few years. And all of a sudden they quit. And they're drinking and drugging and alcoholing and women and men and anything they can to fill the void because they never got their receiver. They never understood that it's not a religious act. It's not about coming in the door, sitting down and getting somebody to pray on you and shake you and dump oil on you or splash your water. Or what it is where your heart is. Say, my heart I've watched people do things that you just don't understand. What the heck are you thinking? What is going on in your spirit, man? Have we put on the Lord Jesus Christ daily? Do we put on the armor of God daily? Do we reach out past the flesh into the spirit realm and say, God, I love you? Do we realize that God wants to do a mighty work? Don't get your answers delayed. James chapter 4 and 1. Excuse me just a minute. Where, you know, sometimes you read scriptures and you don't get it. Have you ever did that? I've read it. I mean, it happens to me all the time because I didn't have my spirit man on, I'll tell you. Where, just stop there a minute. Where do wars? Now, many a times I've read this and I was taught, the minute it said, where do wars? I went, whoa, you know, World War I, World War II, Korean, Vietnam. That was where my mind went immediately. But let's read on. It says, where do wars and fights? How many of you are fighting things? Where do wars and fights come from amongst you? You see, because sometimes we read this and we see wars and it's the president's fault and it's all these people's fault. But it says amongst you. They do not come from do they not come from your desires for pleasure? That war, where? In your members. That's your body. Inside of our body, we have wars and fights that's going on. Anybody have a war and a fight that's going on in your mind and in your heart and in your life? It happens to us all. Watch this. You lust and do not have. You murder and covet but cannot obtain. You fight in war, yet you do not have because you do not ask. Well, but I've been asking. Wait a minute. You ask and do not receive because you ask amiss. The word amiss means incorrectly. We ask with the wrong motives. We ask, Lord, if you'll do this, then I'll do that. We ask conditionally. We ask incorrectly, the word says amiss. That you might spend it, what? On your own pleasures. If Lord, I'm just trying to be happy. Lord, I just want to have all the joy. And Lord, I need everything, all my prayers answered. Sometimes we get answered and it's no, huh? Adulteresses and adulteresses. Do you not know that friendship with the world? Do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? What? If we're just trying to follow the whole world, guess what? We are working against our spirit man. We're working against it. Whoever, watch this. Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. So if we're just trying to, hey, how y'all doing? It's good to see you. Let's go out this weekend. And I'm just partying and we're having a good time. And, oh, it's church time in Chicago church. Man, I love the scripture in Proverbs where it says, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go up to the house of the Lord. I get excited on Friday evenings because I know Sunday's coming. Hallelujah. I get a little bit of joy in my heart because I get to see all y'all wonderful, beautiful faces. I get the joy of the Lord in my heart because I'm coming to worship with the body of Christ and give Him glory and honor and praise. Remember what I told you? I was watching that program last night and I was smiling. I was happy too. I was like, oh yeah, oh 70s, whatever it was. I can't remember the song. There's so many songs goes on in this brain. Ask Jenny. We play cards and every word they say, I start singing. Huh? I just love music. I love to worship God. I love to come together and see you worshiping in spirit and in truth. When you go, it's so sad to watch people go, I'm not saying their outward expression is what's going on the inside. But it's so sad to watch people just like, hallelujah. 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 Come on, where's our spirit? Now, if you can do that and truly worship the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the Almighty God, the Alpha and Omega, okay. All right, I'll give it to you. But I can't. I got to let Him know, Jesus, I love you. I want to let Him know it. And if the people on the side of you don't like your voice, tell them to move. So you might want to press home a little bit. I'm fixing to worship God. Have you ever been next to somebody that truly don't care what you think? Don't raise your hand. Bob, don't talk about Mary that way. Watch this. Whoever therefore wants to make a friend of the world's enemy with God. Watch this. Or do you think that the scriptures say in vain, the spirit who dwells in you yearns, jealous? I need my spirit man. I need my Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost receiver. I need to watch this. Here you go, because this is where a lot of us won't repeat what I'm fixing to say. I need to be corrected. I need to know, God, examine me and show me where I'm making mistakes, Lord, because I got some problems. I like chicken. Got to get away from that stuff that's killing us. Luke chapter 6 and 21. Blessed are you who hunger, not for chicken, but now you shall hunger and thirst for right. Blessed are you who hunger now, for you shall be filled. When we learn to ask correctly, when we desire to really, truly build up the body, say body, of Christ. If we're desiring to build up the body of Christ, when somebody comes up to me and says, did you see what Sherry did? I'm going to say, no, tell me. No. I'm going to say, I don't know what she did, but I tell you what, why don't we pray for her right now? Because obviously, if you've seen her doing something wrong, she needs some prayer. Amen? Well, let me tell you why she needs prayer. No, I don't want to know. Don't tell me. Just pray. How many of you know the Lord knows what the situation is? He already knows what's going on. He knows. So you don't have to tell me. You don't have to go around and tell everybody in the prayer group, well, that old Murray, he sure got some. I seen him at Walmart the other night, and he said, that's it, I got enough. He was mad at that register. He zapped his card 4 times, and it didn't work. About wanting to rip it off. No, I don't know. I'm just messing with you. We need to learn to receive correction. We need to realize that God is the author and finisher. Say finisher. See, He started a good work in you and He's wanting to complete it. He's starting a good work in you. And so when I say complete, I had to look at the clock and see what time it was. I know some of y'all want me to complete this. But for John, watch this. John chapter 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes on Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, like a lot of Christians want to do, but the world through Him might be saved. Maybe we can start helping somebody through their fire. Are you glad? Or are you glad somebody helped you through the fire? Say, help me, Lord. Through the Holy Spirit, we need to get on our spiritual equipment, our special equipment, so we can be elevated into the position God wants us to be. Matthew chapter 22 and 37 says this. Jesus said unto him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second one is like it, that you love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commands hangs all the law of the prophets. Could we possibly learn to put on our spirit man daily and to love one another and to love one another? Realize that God has brought some people into your lives so that you can shake them loose, that you can pray off the demonic activity that's trying to corrupt their life instead of talking about them, pray for them, reach into them, give them a little bit of the Word of God, sow some seed into their life, and watch. Say watch. Watch when we sow seed, what will happen. Watch when we sow seed of God, the seed from God. Sow the good Word of Jesus Christ. Watch what happens. Life starts coming. But if we start sowing discord, guess what happens? If we start sowing problems, if we start sowing, well, did you see? If we start sowing all of these issues that we see, instead of praying for them, we end up back in our flesh man. We end up backing away from God. We end up not understanding, how could they do that to me? How could they have said that? And then we forget that we've said things that we even said, well, how could I say that? How could I have done that? God is unconditional love. Do you realize He loves you so much? Do you realize that He loves you? Revelations 3 and 11. Remember this word. Behold, this is Jesus speaking. Behold, I come quickly. Hold fast to what you have. Hold on to what you got. Hold on to what you have. God's coming quickly. Why? Why do I hold on? That no one, say no one, saying that no one may take your crown. No one can take your crown. Pray, seek His face. Don't allow the enemy to come in and distract and destroy, but allow yourself to be cleansed by the blood of the Lamb. Allow Jesus Christ's blood and life-giving experiences that He wants to bring us through all of your situations. He wants to bring us into. He's coming quickly. Hold on to what He's got inside of you. Do you have your Holy Spirit inside of you? Do you have your spiritual man being stirred, turned on? Is your receiver turned on? Are you accepting what God has in store for you? Do you know that each day that we walk closely with God, how many of you know He's in control? I mean, you know what? I could whine and cry and fuss about my pool collapsing, or I could look at it, it's like, well, I'll never have to put chlorine in anymore. I'll never have to go down there and scrub that slimy bottom of this pool. You see, God's got a plan. Do I understand it all? Nope. But as I step into my spirit man, He starts giving me the, I don't worry about it because I know He's got it. I'm not going to worry and fret and fear because He's in control. How many of you know He's in control? Stand to your feet if you know He's in control. If you've never given your life to Christ, now's the opportunity to do so. If you've never accepted your Holy Spirit, your spirit man, your special equipment, and if you want some of that, I'm going to ask you to come on down right here this morning and just confess yourself before the Lord. Say, Lord, I need You. I need Your Holy Spirit. If that's you, come on down. If it's not, then don't worry about it. You just get ready because God wants to do a mighty work inside of you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Father, we thank You for this day. Lord, we thank You for the opportunity to pour out for Your Spirit. Lord, we thank You that You have already poured out Your Spirit. Lord, we thank You for the Holy Ghost. Lord, we thank You for the special equipment, oh God, You've given us. Lord, we thank You for the receiver, oh God, that we might receive a fresh anointing, oh God. Jesus, Your Word tells us to get ready, to hold on to what You've already got in store for us. So, Father, we're hanging on, Lord. We're preparing our hearts and minds and souls, Lord, to run. Lord, to run with endurance the race that You've set before each and every one of us. Lord, let us lift up the name of Jesus in every way we walk and talk. Lord, let us proclaim the gospel, Lord. Let us pour out Your Spirit now, Lord. Now, Lord, let us not wait any longer, because we got friends, Lord, that are dying and they're going to hell, oh God. So, Lord, give us words of wisdom and encouragement, Lord, to be able to speak forth the Word of God with a fresh anointing. Say fresh. Fresh. In Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. God bless you. Hug somebody in Jesus' name. If you got kids in children's church, go get them.